This morning, thanks Bev for the scripture. We looked at the scripture this morning about worrying. And I really think this theme we're looking at this year, about the rest of the year, looking at rest and replenishment with God, is really in contrast to that worry, isn't it, that so many of us experience. I never thought I would be a worrier, and then I've had two children. Then my children get older, and I said to Kylie, my parenting finishes soon, April. See, Josiah turns 18 in April. I've only got 2 months left, and then I'm free. But my 22-year-old in Adelaide, I still worry about him all the time. It doesn't stop. I wish some of you older guys here told me that the whole parenting thing just keeps going and the worries continue. But I want to put a... Thank you. There's a lot of wisdom out there. I want to put up on the screen here. I know we've looked at the New Year's resolution things quite a bit, but I like goals. Some of you might have heard that I do this strange thing. I have 8 categories of goals every year. You can talk to me about it afterwards, but physical, spiritual, family goals, financial goals, et cetera, et cetera. I like sort of writing things down, and I love the starts of things. And then when I get sort of 2 months in, or I start a project and it gets a bit boring, Kylie has to take over and finish it. That's sort of how our family works. But I love starting and I love new, and it makes me excited. But I'm always quite fascinated about how Australians tick. And, we were at the Willows this morning. Jeffrey, put your hand up there. Yeah, Jeffrey. Jeffrey spoke a bit about this morning as well, which is interesting. We didn't key that up. But you said one of the interesting stats about people setting New Year's resolutions is 26% of Australians refuse to do New Year's resolutions, which is probably a lot of people. It is a lot of people. But here we have improve physical health, improve mental health, manage money better, spend more time with friends and family, and travel more. I'm sure some of you would fit into those categories. But the really interesting one, isn't it, for me, is this improve mental health, 36%. We talk about that now. Back, 30, 40 years ago, it was sort of a no-go topic. It's really healthy, I think, that we talk about it. And we're willing actually to say, hey, I'm struggling with things, I'm losing sleep, life's tough. And I really think this topic we're looking at helps with that. Do not worry, the scripture says. And I'm just wondering, do any of us, as a goal to this year, want to improve our mental health, or we want to not to worry? And the answer to that, of course, is in this idea of rest. Sarah's talked to us about the invitation to rest for those that are watched online a couple of weeks ago. And then Kylie last week talked about accepting the gift of the Sabbath. Well, I want to bring to you again this scripture, not the one that Bev used, but another one, which says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this idea of caring for your soul is one of my goals for 2025. How do I care for my soul? And for me, that's really linked to lots of things. Thomas More, in his book 30 years ago, he said this 30 years ago, said, the greatest problem of our time is implicated in all of our troubles and affecting us individually and socially is the loss of soul. Loss of soul. When soul is neglected, it doesn't just go away. It appears symptomatically in obsessions, addictions, violence, and loss of meaning. Don't we see a lot of this in the world today? If we have a loss of soul socially but personally, it reflects in obsessions, addictions, violence, and loss of meaning. The soul. The way we describe our soul, it's our innermost being. It's this part inside of us we can't see. But when our soul is healthy, when our soul is nourished, when our soul is connected to God, the exterior, what we do, how we behave, how we respond to things is all better, isn't it? Because our soul is healthy. Thank you, Siri. But when I'm thinking of analogies, this isn't a great analogy, but it's the closest I could come up with is my car. My car, I drive a RAV4, it's a hybrid thing. I'm not really a car person. Although funny enough, when I was in year 10, I did work experience at a service station. Because I wanted to be a motor mechanic. Why are you laughing, Kylie? Seems a bit strange now because I hate getting my hands dirty. But back then, there was no sort of computers and everything. Back with, you know, it was old school cars, and they put me down in the pit. There's some of you that's older than me here. You can remember this. Don't look at me strangely. There was like a pit. You climbed down into the concrete pit, and there was like an oil, I don't know what you call it, a drain filter thing, you know, all around the edge was oil, like a foot deep. And my job, he goes, oh, you can start with this morning, just jump down the ladder and there's all these old oil filters. Just put your hands through the oil and pick up all the old filters. I decided in the first 10 minutes, 8 a.m. on the Monday morning, that I wasn't going to be a motor mechanic anymore. But that was a nice dream. But the reason I'm telling you that story is because the engine of the car, or the computer now that runs a lot of our cars, a lot of us can't figure out that, but when that is fine-tuned, and some of the bits inside the car you can't actually see, like our soul, you can't see it. But when it's tuned up, when it's functioning well, when it's lubricated or got the electricity or whatever it needs, fuel, petrol, all those things, the car goes beautifully, doesn't it? I was on one of the M roads, I call them the M roads, the other day, I think it was the M5, coming back from the airport, and there was this beautiful car, like it must be $100,000 plus on the side of the road, broken down. You know, they sort of get rid of a lane and they put these announcements through and everyone slows down to 40. Yet the car looked absolutely beautiful, but it stopped functioning. Because the soul of the car was no longer healthy. There was something wrong there. There was some glitch in the system. And sometimes some of the most amazing looking people, beautifully dressed, lovely hair, look $1 million, are just struggling so much, aren't they? And we see that reflected in their behaviour and what happens because the soul has been neglected. So this scripture says, come to me, come to me. So first of all, we need to accept the invitation. Accept the invitation to rest. And again, Kylie and Sarah have talked about this, but come to me, this scripture starts. What does it look like to accept the invitation? We get a lot of invitations these days, I get a lot of junk mail, so sometimes it's an invitation to spend more at this store or to save more by buying three of these, or invitations to attend events. I get a lot of sporting event things that I've been to in the past, and then they keep sending you more invites and you have to unsubscribe from them. But how do we determine which invites we're going to accept and which ones we're not? Gets problematic sometimes, and you don't want to offend people when you have personal invites. And someone says, oh, would you love to go see, I don't know, Queen with me or ABBA or who's Taylor Swift? Who's Taylor Swift? I don't know. So Taylor Swift. But you don't want to spend the money or you don't think that's a good use of your time. Kylie and I got invited to an event that wasn't sort of my top picks, but it was called the Celebration of Independence. For 100 years for the Turkish Republic. So it's like Turkish Republic Day. And I thought, this is a strange event. But we have got a very good friend who sat on one of our boards, a Muslim gentleman by the name of Omar. So Omar, who I'd had a lot to do with, he's a good friend, he's been very kind to us. He wanted to know if we wanted to go to this event. So I talked to Kylie,
The winner for Kylie was you could see the Harbour Bridge from the event. So any event you can see the Harbour Bridge from, she'll go to it. Wouldn't matter what it is. Could be basket weaving on the harbour. She'd still go to it because she can see the Harbour Bridge. So we said to Omar, we'll be there. You know, what do we wear, et cetera, et cetera. And what I discovered afterwards, Omar's quite a wealthy man but very generous. Those tickets were $200 each. I had no idea. But the event was amazing. There was incredible costumes, there was dancing, there was amazing food, beautiful venue overlooking the harbour. And I was so glad that I accepted the invitation to go to that event. Now, I didn't know really what I was doing or what I was going to. I was only half-hearted about going to that event. But, you know, my life was better for that experience. And my encouragement to you each, as you are probably some of you saying, is this really real, this whole rest come to me thing, is it worth exploring? I think I've already heard from Michelle and Jenny that that's true, but I encourage you to give it a go, to take this invitation and try something or go a bit deeper to something you've never done before, like we did with the Turkish Republic Day, and see what God can do in and through your life. The next part of this scripture talks about taking the yoke. Now, it's interesting because yoke is really a work tool. And I'm going to put a picture up here of a yoke. A lot of you will know this, but in Bible days, 2,000 years ago, it's a wooden yoke. And the yokes were made to measure. So oxen, normally it was two oxen in the yoke. And they would measure the oxen's neck and make sure it's all going to fit, made to size. And Jesus says that my yoke is easy. Jesus says that this thing that's on your neck, and sometimes they used it to carry water, humans had a yoke as well. My yoke is easy. It's not going to be painful. It's not going to be hard work if you partner with me. And I believe this partnership with Jesus, in a way, it's like a 50-50 when you look at this. It's like you and Jesus doing life together. And you need to be in sync, don't you? You need to understand you know, the way Jesus thinks about things, how you can make decisions, how you can do life with this partner, this 50-50 partner. You're not the majority owner of the business. You're not the majority owner of your life. It's an equal partnership with Jesus. My yoke is easy. Barclay, the theologian, in his book, shares a story. It's a legend of Jesus, and I love this. And it's not like Barclay to write a legend about Jesus. It's nearly, you know, bordering on dangerous. But it really appealed to me, and I want to share it to you. There's a legend, writes Barclay, that when Jesus was a carpenter, as you know, Jesus was a carpenter and in Galilee, he made the best ox yokes in all Galilee. So that wood that joins the animals together, Jesus made them. And that people from all over the country came to Jesus to buy his yokes. And as the legend goes, the carpenter Jesus had a sign over his shop that read, "My yoke fits well. My yoke fits well." Jesus designs a yoke for us. It's tailor-made. It's to fit our necks, our shoulders, everything. It's just how it's supposed to be. And it will help us through life. The scripture goes on and Jesus says to learn from me. Take my yoke and learn from me. So how do we learn from Jesus? What are we doing in our life that helps us learn from him? I too downloaded a new app this year. Well, part of my goals, my spiritual journey, is to, I like to do something different every year for my spiritual journey. So I go through and try and find an app that I like, and I download it. I use apps because I'm on the road a bit, traveling. And every day I commit to reading the app. So the app that I'm using this year just has a scripture and a few paragraphs, and it gets me to reflect on life. But these little things are all ways to help you learn from Jesus. And there's some big things you can do too to learn from Jesus, to spend major time with him and set time apart with him. I'm going to put a picture up here of a building. Bit of a quiz question. Has anyone been here? Give you a clue. It's in Western Australia. It's 172 kilometres north of Perth. Yeah, I know some people in the band have been there because I've spoken about this before. Bruce, you haven't recognised it yet, have you? He can't remember the name of it. New Norcia. New Norcia. Hands up if you've been to New Norcia. Very good. 10 of us here in the room. New Norcia is the only monastic town in Australia. So last year, I'm part of what they call a chaplaincy group that we have to do quite a few, as you can imagine, quite a few sort of spiritual days and retreats and so on, as we look after 200 chaplains, which and then looks after sort of 30,000 people across Australia. So it's a big network. And part of our professional development is you literally have to do 10 days a year, sort of deep into God and spiritual things. And so one of the five-day events that I had to attend for work, so I'm not saying I chose to do this, was to attend the monastic town of New Norcia for 5 days. So I thought, oh, 5 days, this is going to be a stretch. Don't really want to do this. It's just been, I know this is online, but I'll still risk saying this. So it started Sunday night, late Sunday night, or if you're really stretched, you can turn up Monday morning. Well, Sunday night, there was an event on called the NRL Grand Final, which Josiah and I might have been there to see Storm win. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but we were lucky enough to get tickets up in the nosebleed section. And so I thought, look, New Norcia can wait for me. I'm going to go to the grand final, make sure Storm win first, then jump on the plane at 6 a.m. the next morning, go to Perth, and because of the time difference, you still get there at a reasonable time, get in my high car, drove up to New Norcia. So anyway, it was quite a frustrating 24 hours because, firstly, Storm didn't win the grand final, which I'm still getting over, but then, you know, you only get a few hours sleep and you're at airports and hire cars and everything. And I turned up in New Norcia and I probably wasn't in sort of the best sort of reflective spiritual mode. But then I turn up and there was no phone reception for 5 days. There was no phone reception. Now, some of you that know me, you'll see that I do play on my gadgets quite a lot, and everything from sport, emails, Facebook, Instagram, or whatever I want to do. But I do spend a lot of time on my phone. So all of a sudden, it became like the first few hours there was like, oh, my goodness me, how am I going to spend 5 days here? I've got no phone reception. My room's pretty lousy. Anyway, it goes on. I go to the first lunch on the Monday. Lunch is in silence. That's what they do at the monastic community. So I couldn't even sit down next to someone and complain about the reffing in the grand final last night or how bad the phone reception is. I had no opportunity to do that. I had to go into this new space. Anyway, after day two, I started to get in the zone. And God was doing something in my life. Like it was something completely different that I'd ever done before. And if you know how monks live, I'm not sure if you've if you've sort of delved into this world much, so this is the Benedictine monks, they pray seven times a day. They literally pray seven times a day in the church there. And we had the opportunity, we had to do it three times a day, but if we wanted to do the whole seven. So on the Wednesday, I went hardcore, I did the whole seven, 5 a.m., 6:30. You finish at 7 o'clock at night. Seven lots of prayer, and I met some amazing monks. One of them, his name was Charles. So he'd literally been there. He was just turned 90. He went there when he was 18. He said he'd been at the same monastery for 71 years. And I said, have you prayed seven times a day for 71 years? And he said, yes, I have. And I thought, wow, that's a whole new level. Fascinating. So during that week, I read The Rule of St. Benedict, a little book that's amazing, 70-something pages about how they get close to God. But it's very reflective. It's very much taking time to be with it. It's about coming to me, learning from me. And I encourage you to do something like that. But God taught me a lot that week. And I encourage you to learn from him by doing something you've never done before and spending time with him. And lastly, it says, and you will find rest. Your souls will find rest if you come to him, if you take on Jesus' yoke, which is light, you will find rest. And that rest is for your souls. Rest for your souls can only be found through our faith, through our relationship with Jesus, because we were created by God to be in loving relationship with him. Saint Augustine actually said that our souls were created to be restless. I struggled with this, but then I thought about it. Our souls were created to be restless until they find their rest in God, said Saint Augustine. Your innermost being, that place that drives your desires, that engine, that computer inside of you that makes you tick, your motives, your attitudes, the way you react to things, that's your soul. And when we take the time to come to him, to learn from him, take on Jesus' yoke, we will find that innermost rest for our souls. So I encourage you this year to keep exploring that, to keep stretching, maybe doing a few different things. There are things such as silent retreats. I never thought I would go on one, but go to somewhere that we have never been before. Dig deeper. Turn your phone off if that's a problem. Go for a walk. All those things that nourish your soul. And I really believe God will speak to you and bless you for that. Shall we pray? Lord, we just want to thank you that we can come to you at any time, 24/7. We can come to you and you are there for us. Lord, that you want to help us nourish our souls. And you want to help us get closer to you and to learn from you. And Lord, help us to give up our selfish ambitions, all the worries in our life, and just to spend more time with you, just to take time out in a day, in a week, in a month, a time where we can just sit with you and hear from you, and that your words can speak over us, your scripture can speak into our lives, and that our souls will be healthy because of the time we give to you in our lives. So just pray you bless everyone in this room. Pray for all the concerns and worries of this year for so many people here. Lord, that they'll somehow find their rest in you. I pray in your name. Amen.